Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is your boy, Comedian Boogie, and it's my host right here, Marquette Kearney. I love saying the name wrong because I have no fuck it is.
Don't even pretend like that was intentional, nigga. Like, I saw on your face you was about to fuck up these letters.
So, Kearney, whatever the nigga name is. Look, like I got the quah in that joint this time.
That's the first challenge.
Cat. Straight up, my cat.
And you gotta say your name, man. You gotta.
I said the name.
You said your name. You said my name. Listen, this
not
is
at all.
We're the biggest amateurs in the game right now. We can't even get the introduction ready. You know how many listeners?
You can't get it right. I started off. It's your boy, Comedian Boogie. That's easy.
Okay. All right. Well, you talk about the names. You know, my name for those listening. I know Boogie just fucked it up. It's Marquette Kearney. And that was a very difficult name to pronounce. But the funny thing is, like, you did better than most people. Because I remember being in, like, what grade was in? Like, seventh grade. And, like, you know, when you're in middle school and stuff, or grade school, like, if you have to go to the office or they need to call the class for you, they'll say, can you send blah, blah, blah to the office?
Yeah.
So there was one particular situation, I never lived it down. They called the class. They were like, Mr. Johnson, can you send Marquita Kearney to the office? Her ride is here.
Bitch.
Boys played me for the rest of the school year. Listen, normally the variations I hear is Marquette, Marquetta. Mostly it's Marquette. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. My family's bougie. So my name is it has French origins. My mom made a French nigga. This nigga says his name was Marquette. So she took it and said, okay, I'm going to name my son Marquette. The accurate pronunciation in where we're at in America is Marquette.
Yeah.
So people normally say that, but I mean, don't act like I'm the only one here with a goofy-ass name.
Bro, so for our listeners that don't know me other than Boogie, my government name is Major.
Uh-huh.
And so here's the crazy thing about it. You talk about school and friends of school, you're fucking your name up. Uh-huh. I can always tell when somebody knows me out in public. Like, I don't see them. They're just behind me. I can always tell somebody know me in public by the name they base me on. I can tell what they know me from, how they know me, mm-hmm. what era it was. Because I get Boogie, that could be anybody.
Yeah.
I get, all right, so the funny one is, if I get Marjorie,
I would go with margarine, given your stature, but keep going.
I know that if I get Marjorie, I know for sure that somebody like in middle school, you know, that early high school, if I get the Marjorie.
Uh-huh.
And because the name is Major, and my middle name is Ree, Majorie, and I got beautiful long eyelashes.
Mm.
So people always say you're like a girl. So that's how I got Marjorie.
So what's that? Out in the mall.
That's somebody, oh, Marjorie. I'm like, oh.
See that eye roll for a second.
Yeah.
So what's the story behind the name Major? I mean, obviously, that's not just a random name that is given. It's not like they read a book on baby names and Major. So there has to be some sort of story behind it.
The story is born.
You tell the story anyway.
You ready?
Yeah.
My dad's name is Major.
Your dad's name is Major.
Yeah.
Okay.
Round of applause.
Listen, we can end the podcast there. Like, that's I don't think it's gonna get much better than you telling us that the origins of your name is that your dad was named. So you're not a junior. They just took
Oh no, I'm a junior.
They just kind of changed the name. Okay.
I'm a junior. and one of the stories that I heard, and I don't think it's true, but one of the stories I heard is I was named Major because back in the day, when my great grandfather or somebody wanted to be in the military, wouldn't let him in.
Mm-hmm.
So this was that pays homage to go to the military because we couldn't get in because we was black.
You couldn't get in, so they called him Major.
He said, "Y'all won't let me in the military. I'm gonna name my family Major. I'm gonna name my family with military." There it was. But like I said, I don't think that's it.
Yeah.
I really think it is because we started doing some ancestry stuff. It was going to look, I've come to find out my great, 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 great to the 10th power name was Major too.
Uh-huh.
So I think like the slave was named Major.
So we got goofy names for generations.
Yeah.
Name Major is just.
The Major, it was there. And it skipped a couple people. Then it came back around again to another Major. The original Bynums got two Bynum brothers got split up. And one was Major, one was somebody else. Can't remember his name. One was Major, one was somebody else. They split up. The Major named somebody else Major. And then, like, it went down the lineage tree, came back around, and then two more got named Major from the other brother. So there's two Majors out there. That's my dad's age, my dad, and then another Major that we actually met. We met him now, and his name is Major Bynum too. And so, but they're on two different sides of the family. Like, we technically, like, we don't know each other. Like, we don't know if we can. But his great great grandfather and my great great grandfather are the same. They brought their brothers. So we're technically.
So so Major's the government name. Boogie's like a stage name, or just a name that you were given by your friends. It's like the nickname.
Nickname, yeah.
Boogie's nickname. That makes me jealous because when I was in high school, I was super jealous of people who had nicknames. Jealous, yes, of people who have nick. Because I always wanted a nickname. Nigga, I was so serious with the shit. I had like a focus group and like was just trying to figure out.
Milk Dud was taken.
Say it again.
Milk Dud was taken.
Milk Dud. I wasn't bald in high school, motherfucker. I had a full head of hair.
Baby titties was gone.
Yes, baby titties was taken. It was already taken. There was a couple of chubby people back when I was coming up. But the thing was, I had like a little focus group. We were like going through names. Like, what about Smooth? They're like, nah, nigga. Like, I know that you aren't supposed to give yourself a nickname.
Yeah.
But Marquette was just too fucking random. Like, Mark was the best that I can do. And then Mark is like a basic ass name. Like, nothing special comes to your mind when you say Mark.
So. That's what I call you, Mark.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Marquette at least sounds a little more exotic, like mysterious. Like, especially with like the acting thing, like you absolutely put Marquette on the motherfucking resume. Because one, it doesn't make, not that anything's wrong with sounding black, but you don't know, you know what I mean? Like you won't immediately think that. So what's the story behind Boogie then? Like, where did Boogie come from?
So Boogie actually came from when I was three. And my original nickname was Stinkpot. And before my grandma passed away, she made my mom change my name because she said, I can't let the boy be growing up known as Stinkpot.
Yeah.
So that's another name. I could always say, you know, something else when I hear somebody say Stinkpot. Oh, that's close family. Because like, we don't even know it.
Could they still call you that?
I only got like maybe two people that may say it. And it's rare that they say it.
Yeah.
They just, when they say it, it's like they're trying to be funny because they, you know, oh, nigga, I know your name. Stinkpot.
I agree with half of that. The pot part is definitely appropriate right now. Yeah. I don't know about
the stink is appropriate. I shit on command. And then the Boogie came from me dancing the Soul Train one day. And it's been Boogie ever since. Because a lot of people don't recognize, regardless of my stature, nigga, I can get down with the best of them.
Okay. I ain't mad at you. You say you shit on command. It's one person I know that shit on command is my damn son, man. Like, the thing that we're struggling with now is he's four, and I still wipe his ass. So I'm trying to figure out at what age are you – like, I don't remember learning how to wipe my own ass. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I was a fucking savant in that, too. I just knew the fucking method. But, I can't trust him.
To wipe my ass.
He wants to wipe his own ass. But you don't realize how complicated ass wiping is until like a 4-year-old has to do it.
Yeah.
Especially like mud butt, because his diet is a little tricky. So like today he wouldn't play, you hear like little squirts. So I'm like, messing with him. This ain't the time to teach. Class is not in session for this one. It's going to be a fucking mess. So like I'm trying to figure out, like I was Googling today, like trying to figure out exactly what the process is to teach them how to wipe properly. But motherfucker, I'm not sure I know how to wipe properly. Listen, I done seen times in my drawers, nigga, where it's like, what the fuck went, what happened in the bathroom, nigga? Like, you missed.
Was I lazy?
You were four swipes away, nigga. Like, it was a little solid four wipes that you missed out on this. So it's like, is this just something we never learn completely as men? I don't get it.
I think that we fought a lot.
That's a good point.
Damn, power just blurred. Did you see it?
I didn't see it. You just made a funny ass face right then.
Shit, what was going on just now? But So, I mean, you're trying to teach a 4-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to teach a 5-year-old girl. You know how difficult that is? Trying to teach her not to go, want her to go to front and back, and she thinks front is the back and back
oh,
is
yeah.
the front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that can cause problems with them. So it's a whole nother, yeah, like, bro. The danger level is, the threshold is different.
Yeah, it's a little higher.
Yeah.
You can't push nothing up front.
Yeah.
You don't want you pushing nothing up front.
Yeah.
So, but then they get in the bathroom, and it's like, well, what's the front? Back here? No. Listen to what you're saying.
Listen to the words, baby girl. Listen to the words. My son also, like, when he pees, sometimes he just don't feel like holding his penis. And not today. Yeah, he'll just let it just
go everywhere.
Yeah. Just like Picasso fucking Basquiat painting on the wall and shit. It's like, you got to hold this thing, man, and point it at the toilet. And I got mad at one point because he was like peeing here recently. He was sitting down on the toilet. Wait, what the fuck are they teaching you at that daycare? Like, what is happening? What are you doing? Like, you were supposed to poop. What are you doing?
How lazy can one get? Now, I remember I was doing P90X.
I was doing P90X. First of all, I don't believe what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I call bullshit immediately.
Because, nigga, I told you, this weight thing, I've tried. I'm just never successful. I made it through 21 days of insanity.
Uh-huh.
21 days I made it through.
And what's like the total amount of days of insanity?
90.
90. Okay.
Yeah. And I made it 21.
Uh-huh.
And I remember being so tired one day that I had to pee. And I came upstairs to go pee, and I said, my legs hurt. And I sat down and peed.
You sat down and peed because your legs hurt?
Yeah.
My legs hurt. Insanity looked difficult, man. I've done P90X. P90X, like, they had the genius marketing of, like, muscle confusion, which is total bullshit. Once you learn about that stuff, it's like, oh, that was just marketing. But insanity is exactly what the fucking name suggests. It was insane. It like, that cardio bullshit. And I thought, like, if you complete it, like, your certificate would be, you'd just be gay now. Because your instructor was so sweet. I'm like, bro, I'm not jogging. I'm not doing fucking up-downs with your ass for 60-something days. I'm going to start talking with extra S's and shit. But he's ripped like a motherfucker, though.
Yeah, he ripped.
For our gay audience, I apologize. That was obviously jokes. I don't think you're going to be gay if you do insanity. And if you were... Who cares, right? Being gay is in. This is a fantastic day for you all. Gay people basically run society at this point.
I remember one day I was so tired, and I think I put this on Facebook. I don't know when it's going to pop back up on my Facebook memories. But one day I was so tired that I did not recognize that I took my shower with my socks on.
Mm. So you didn't realize that you had extra grip in this motherfucker? Like,
not at all. I was too tired to bend all the way over. And I remember watching, like I said, I'm just going to wash my knees up because I can't bend all the way over. My body.
You know, that was a perfect time to make a you can't see your feet joke. But I figured the fat jokes are going too overboard, so I'm dialing back on this podcast. I've never had socks on in the shower, I must say. In fact, when I get into the crib, I take my socks off immediately. My girl will tell you, like, I'm in the car, already got the shits from past my ankles, ready to take my hose off. My feet get hot real quick. It's weird. Like, they get super hot and they sweat. It's a weird phenomenon. Like, my extremities, like, my hands sweat bad and my feet sweat bad for some reason.
Yeah, you went sockless a lot of time on set.
Yeah, like, I don't care. Oh, yeah, you got a picture of me, like, just on my toes and shit.
Picking your feet. Like, you making love to your toes.
Hey, son, if no one else gonna do it, so I gotta do it, man. I was getting into character. I felt like Stuart had a foot fetish.
Yeah, I feel like he had foot fetish on yourself.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I felt like he was 2 strokes away from jerking your toes off.
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do. I had to get into care. I had to get into the scene. Tiffany wasn't going to do it. Tiffany was played by Hillary Moeller. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
I don't know.
Moeller? Light skin.
Tiffany Lightskin. Lightskin Jack.
We were making her mad. We were making her mad on set. We were doing Hillary Banks.
Yeah, Hillary, will you marry?
I can't wait until we do the episode in Maryland for y'all. The movie that we always reference in every single podcast. I know y'all ready. Y'all heard this already. By the way, Shelton, I talked to him the other day. He says going back up in November. On Amazon Prime. I don't know if he told you already, but
yeah, going back up in the stand up.
So what?
He says going back up and stand up.
What does that mean?
It's never coming back down again.
Oh, I thought you said stand up, bro. You got a fucking enunciate. Your tongue is like, you got enough letters, nigga. Just go ahead and use context clues from this point on.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything else. Feel like a mouth got like a publicist. No more questions. No further questions.
Yeah, that's enough. You got it. You're bright, young man. You can do it.
But yeah, man, it's the movie that we are all in, that I am starring in. People is going back up on Amazon Prime. Thankful for my family, and we're going to do a special episode of this podcast. When are we going to? Maryland, is it?
Maryland.
It's the 10th, right?
Yeah, October. Yeah, 9th.
Okay. Put a pin in this real quick. Let me get my charger.
Yeah, so why are you going to get a charger? This is going to be a commercial break to everybody, let you know that if you need your custom apparel done for you, please, please make sure you visit teesandsoul.com. That's teesandsoul.com for any custom apparel needed you may have. If well, you need just... some, so just, hey, shut up! I'm in the middle of a commercial.
Okay.
If you need, if you're out there writing jokes and you want somebody to go over with and let them know they're funny, contact me. I have that service as well. If you want somebody to know how to wash your car, I can send somebody for you because I don't do that shit. This has been brought to you by Tees and Soul.
So I'm editing all of that out, obviously, but we may put something for Tees and Soul in the show notes. What were we saying? Oh yeah, so Maryland, we're going to talk with Shelton, the director of the movie, as well as Ian, who played my brother in the movie. Obviously, major Boogie Bynum and myself are going to do a special episode. And we're actually going to Maryland to discuss the movie that we're writing. Can we talk about the movie at all? Is it too soon to say anything about the movie? Can we alert people to what's going on, the story at all? Like, where are we with it? Let's hold off. Let's just keep it that we're writing a movie. Let's just keep it that the movie is, we got a special project working on. It's going to be another comedy. It's another comedy, dramedy almost. And it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Real good movie, y'all.
So here's the funny thing about that movie. We decided that all three of us, me, Boogie, and Shelton, were going to write. And I'm put that emphasis on that word, write the movie.
Because write don't mean the same for everybody. Just letting y'all know.
So, yes, if you look up the definition of writing in the dictionary, it has very specific meaning shared by all persons who speak the English language. And this nigga Boogie has yet to pick up a pen. However, he has been very influential in the idea phase, which is the phase that every person wants to be on, because there's no actual heavy lifting there when it comes to the writing. But the story that you're going to witness, he definitely influenced, and we're going to pester him to write a little bit, because he definitely has the talent for it, whether he realizes it or not. And we're going to make something, really good. And we're all starring in it, so that's going to be a very exciting thing. Speaking of which, I know we're supposed to get headshots in Maryland, but it's looking like that's not going to happen. You say your wife's going to do yours?
Yeah, I already knew I wanted to get mine done. Like, I literally talked
to Shelton. I thought you told Shelton that you were going to get it done.
I mean, I was. I literally told Shelton when I talked to Shelton yesterday. I literally told him. I said, I'm going to get Terry to do mine. He said, wait, you guys mind to do yours already? I said, yeah. He said, why was you going to do it in Maryland? Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Literally with my reason.
We all can get someone to do ours.
Yeah.
I mean, this motherfucker, there's only one guy in America. He's in Maryland. Yeah. He does all the headshots.
But I was literally doing it simply because everybody was doing it. It's not, so will I.
Well, that's what I was doing.
I said that, thought about it, like, I don't feel like it. I can get them done here.
Yeah. Yeah, I found a woman here in Raleigh who does them professionally, and she specializes in acting headshots, because that was important to me. Because after reading, like, that you want to capture those adjectives in the shots, I knew that, like, just your run-of-the-mill photographer probably won't know what that's like. Like even like for, so for Shelton's guy, he probably, I'm sure he's a great photographer. Like the pictures of Shelton's are great, but from my understanding, and I could be wrong, the point of your headshots and acting is not to look fantastic. It's not for you to look your absolute best, for you people to, you know, sometimes they get rid of blemishes and shit like that, whiten your teeth. It's like, no, because if that's the case, you get on set or you get to the audition, we're like, who is this motherfucker? Like, this is the person
and we saw in the picture. I've actually have met someone who actually got fired off set because they didn't look like their picture, their headshot.
Oh, wow. Did you see the headshot?
No, she didn't show me the headshot.
Okay.
It's like, we were sitting in one of the audition rooms and she said that she did her headshots and it was almost seemed like it was a glamour shot. Somebody inexperienced. And she went in what she thought was good. And it was a good picture. She had a good audition. The head casting director was not at the audition. They had their assistant. So they like, oh yeah, she was good. Let's bring her in. She saw a headshot. She said she got there to go on set today. And she was playing, it was a small role. So she went in, got there that day to go and do it. They said, well, hold on, who are you? And she told she was and everything, and she brought her headshots with her. And she said, you're not the same person. We can't use you. She said, this is me. And then she's like, no, we look at the person that's in the thing. We don't have to make a team here to do this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of time, depending on the budget, you have a lot of these budgets for makeup. They tell you come makeup ready because they don't have the budget to pay a makeup artist. So they tell you come make as close to makeup ready as possible. They may have someone that can do touch-ups. So they don't have someone come in and do full coverage, you know, in a short amount of time, especially if it's a quick shoot. If it's time sensitive, they're not going to spend a lot of time for you to sit in the makeup chair. That's a waste of money.
That makes sense. Because even in this book, it's written by the girl that played Pam on The Office, talking about her acting journey and just to give advice to other actors trying to get into the industry. And she is, she was like, for her headshots, like, she had to go through like four, she had to go to a photographer like four or five different times before she got it right. So for like the first one, she was trying to just look good. And then for like the second one, they made her look really sexy. And she said with that picture, she ended up getting a whole bunch of auditions, but she didn't book anything because that didn't capture, it gave them a false expectation. So she's not really equipped to play the sexy female lead, but she looked like she could in that picture. So that's probably even important for actors, because I'm sure there's probably going to be actors listening to this podcast, given that that's a topic we'll probably talk about a lot. That's important. Something that's important for actors is just because you got a headshot that's like giving you a whole bunch of auditions doesn't mean you got the right headshot, right? And that makes perfect sense to my marketing brain. Because like for me, in my world, like if I'm doing, you know, for my 9-to-5 job, I basically, if you Google something, that's like a blog post, I write what you see on Google. So I write part of my job. I do most things. Part of my job is to write that headline and to write the little description underneath that link, right? So I could write that in a way, like clickbaity, to get you to click. But if you click on that link, let's say I write an article about making more money, and then and on the link, I tell you that you can make $1,000 overnight, right? You go, okay, I'm looking to make more money, I can make overnight, click, and then you get to the article, and the article, I don't show you how to do that, or it's like it's going to take a longer amount of time, you're going to leave. It's called a bounce. So if you leave, if you go to the page and you leave immediately, that signals to Google that the person who clicked the link did not find what they were looking for, and it makes them drop you in the rankings. It's looked at as like a bad signal. So that it's the same thing in this situation. It's like your picture was clickbait. You know what I mean? Like you took a picture that made me want to meet you, and I met you, and I'm like, you're not like this picture. So you're not going to get this job. Exactly. So it's, you know, like we talked about previously, we talked about acting. And first of all, before we get into this acting subject, I've been studying this motherfucker like crazy. I took like a crash course basically over the weekend where I ate, breathed, drank shit acting for like a complete 48 hours just to educate myself. And I was completely bit by the bug. But, what was I talking about? I hate when that shit happens. Brain just says, not reboot.
Someone acting in headshots.
Yeah, so for her, it was basically false advertising. But I know before you said that you didn't want to be typecasted. But according to the multiple sources that I've been looking at, they're like, in the beginning, you want to. Like, for your headshots and stuff,
you want to work. You want to work. So you want to do that. So, yeah, typecasting is good when you first try to get into the industry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, right now, yeah, typecasting. Put me as the fat man that can't run on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely doing it because, I mean, I'm working. But once I get there, now I want to show, okay, I've got range. I can do something else. And that's when it takes to do something else for that. And that's actually why I just to have something else on my resume, because everybody see me as the comedian. Mm-hmm. But if people, they can Google my resume. So people that see my resume, they're actually going to see. I do a lot of, it's a lot of drama stuff on my thing. Camera just pushed around because I knocked my head out. People that that Google my resume, they can see that I actually have a lot of drama films on my resume. And then some of the stuff that I did, I wanted to show I can be very dramatic. And I went and agreed to do some of the stage play. And shout out to Raymond Gould, gentleman here in Richmond. He had a stage play, and I actually played the part of a runaway slave who ran away with her.
A runaway slave.
Yeah. I was a slave that...
As a slave is like, how far are we running? Just you got a map and you show me how many steps we have to take.
I'd be this slave. They'd be like, wait a minute, how much far is it? We closer to going back. I'm gonna go ahead on back.
Like, nigga, were you eating the cotton? How did you get this big as a slave? What is going on? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I think we were going too long without any jokes. I had to throw something in there. But finish your thought.
And so I played that role of a runaway slave to show that I can have a different range, like straight, because it was straight dramatic with no comedy in it at all.
Yeah.
And it was like heavy on the dramatics, because it's like I'm out here dropping knowledge. To people that don't know the whole story, her top man and things like that, stuff that she's done that wasn't out there. So I did that joint, and I did that literally just to add extra dramatic stuff on my resume. So, because, again, I was trying to find a way to not be typecasted off the jump. I wouldn't be able to see my resume and say, okay, he can do all these different things.
Let me ask you this. Is it important? How important is the resume? Because, like, I know that it matters, right? I know that the resume matters, but it seems like if you put things in order of most important to least important, the reel is probably at the top of that list. Which kind of is your resume in a way, because it consists of work.
It's a visual resume. It's a visual resume.
Exactly.
But resumes are important. Because
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, the reason I say they're very important, because that's not a single casting that's ever asked you just for a headshot with no resume. They want to see the resume. They want to see, baby, the physics, read what you've done. And the reason why they're doing that is because acting community is actually kind of small. A lot of these casting directors know, or producers, they know each other. So they'll turn around and they'll look at your headshot, and if you got it on your resume on the back of it, they'll turn and look to see who you work with. Because then now they can say, you know what, I do like him, but is he good on set? Let me call this guy and see how he was. They can be like, yeah, such and such, how was he on set? They'll be like, oh, he's great to work with. Okay, we just want to confirm what we're trying to see. Or it could be that whole opposite situation. You can be like, you know, he's a good audition. Let me call and see how he's on set. That motherfucker suck. I mean, he was terrible. He was late. He ain't come to nothing. He ain't know his lines. He never took it serious. So then all of a sudden they call you like, yeah, we know. Or they ain't even calling you, because it's not like they don't call you until you didn't get the part. They just don't fucking call you.
Yeah.
So,
the only person did it was Shelton. Shelton called motherfuckers like, hey, guy, I got some news for you. Oh, really? What is it? You didn't get it.
Yeah.
Just want to tell you in person, you did not get this shit. Well, better luck next time.
Yeah. That's why when we would do our audition, I think it's going to be great, the fact that we all going to be in there together, because we take different experiences, especially since I've been into a lot of audition rooms. I think we're going to tell them straight up, you know, when they go into the holding area, we're going to have to let them know that, you know, if you receive the part, you're going to receive a phone call. If you don't receive the part, you won't hear nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to get a generic email to go push out to them. Thank you so much for auditioning. If you receive the part, we don't move forward for your second audition, we'll contact you. Things like mm-hmm. that.
I heard Zoe Kravitz saying today, like, she was like, as far as auditions are concerned, she was like, either you were always perfect for the part or you were never perfect for the part.
Yep. Yep.
And that kind of takes the pressure off.
Walk in
the
before you even say anything.
Uh-huh.
Because, and then another thing too, is I try to tell young actors, when I say young, I mean age, I mean people that's just getting in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to tell people one thing too is, one, you can't go in there with your heart on your sleeve. Two, you can't think of something that you did, because you can go in, especially for commercials, because for commercials, they'll do a generic casting. I want this character to be a black man, bald head with beard.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there, you're going to have 40 dudes in that same time frame that's black, bald head with a beard. You're going to come in, they already know what they're looking for. You haven't said a word yet. They just already know what they're looking for. You can come in and you be like, bomb audition. Audition can be the greatest. But you too big for the clothes they got for the actor. Or you too small for the clothes for the actor. They look for somebody buff. They don't tell you that. Someone will say they want you more athletic cut. But what's the athletic cut? You trying to now think about what you feel athletic versus what they feel athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Military. The biggest issue with anything military is they're always looking for the guy that's come in that looks like he's been in basic training for 2 or 3 years. But when you get most of these military dudes, everybody the fat got guts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what they look for. So they always say, oh, we're looking for all things military. No, you're not. Because most of the military dudes I know got guts.
Yeah.
So it's like you got some that are the active military duty. Is it active, like actively going to whatever the thing called for the weekend, and they go work out or whatever they do? Them the ones that's usually, you know, cut up or like small feature. But you ask for somebody that's retired or they've been in the military for a long time, the mugs got guts.
Yeah.
But it don't equal that in the acting world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're one of those guys. No, you did not show up in some army fatigue.
No, I ain't
ready. Ready to be the military guy in the commercial. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, man. I mean, it definitely seems like it's a hard industry to break into. It's just, I think I never really pursued it heavily because I lived on the East Coast. Like, I didn't think, like, when I was wanting to act, it was more so like, okay, you definitely have to move to LA. What I wanted to do for film, because I know New York is mostly known for theater. And I didn't really have any interest in doing theater, because theater to me was like, you do the, like if you're on Broadway or something, you do the same play over and over and over and over again. I'll get tired of something. Like, I need it to be fresh and new. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not moving away to fucking California, just uprooting myself and all of my family is here. I'm not doing that shit. Mm-hmm. But now I see that, you know, just with the internet that you probably won't get as many opportunities as people who live in those places, obviously, but there's still opportunity to be had in certain areas.
So I was just waiting for you to finish to see how your thoughts were mm-hmm. on that. And I am exactly totally opposite.
Okay, so what are you thinking?
So originally, yes, I would say, oh man, you probably got to move to LA. Until I got heavy into acting mm-hmm. and understanding, you can get everything right here. You can get everything right here. You gotta be willing to go do it. That's the biggest thing that some actors don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That I think, and I'm not trying to take this moment to pat myself on the back, but I think that's one of the things that my gumption, my go get, my drive is gonna be bigger than somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a thing on there that say, hey, we casting for such and such, such and such. Oh, but you got to be willing to come to Atlanta and do it. No sweat. I'm out of here. I'm gone. I don't even know if I'm getting the part, but I'm going to spend the money on the airfare. I'm going to spend the money on the rental car. I'm spending money on the hotel. I'm going to try probably drop like $400 just to go there and audition and be told no. But thing is, you gotta be willing to put yourself in that place, because even in Virginia, there's plenty of stuff in Virginia that happens. And at first, I didn't think it was. Now, I will say, now there's a flip side to that too. I will say that though there is plenty of stuff that happens in Virginia, because we're in a Confederate state, a lot of stuff that's going to be here is going to be period pieces, which means that your ass going to be playing a slave. You're going to get beat. You hear me?
I'm meant to hit me for real, Jack. Yeah. Nah, we're not doing that. But that's essentially what I was saying. And what I was saying was my original impression was that you had to move, right? Yeah. See, what you just described is different. What you just described is you going to a place. If your situation matched what my original impression was, it wouldn't be you going to Atlanta. It would be you finding out there was an audition to California and then going there, which I'm sure you would do as well, you would do it not as frequently as you would probably do it in Atlanta, considering how much it would go into it. But what I'm saying is I didn't know, it's like talking to you, talking to other people, that there were actually opportunities to be had here, or not like just in my state, but even like in proximity to my
surrounding counties. Yeah.
So it's like, okay. And then when you actually get interested in the craft, because before I didn't know how deep acting was, like how deep you can actually take it, and how like you probably take a lifetime to master it. Now that I'm interested in the craft of it, I'm more open to doing stuff like plays and stuff like that. Because I'm interested in being able to capture the essence of a role, so much so that as my comedy has taken a hit. Like, I've not posted a skit in like five. I ain't even been on TikTok or Instagram. I'm having logged in. I think I logged in for the first time today to see like new followers, new likes and comments coming in, but I've not posted anything. So the struggle with me now is like trying to structure my day to where I can still work on our script, get jokes and content out just so I can stay in comedy shape, and, you know, do stuff like do monologues, learn acting theory, learn all that kind of stuff. But this, it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. I will say it's a lot.
And I'd sit here and laugh, because I'd be like, stuff y'all be hitting me up on text, they did do this yet, they do this yet. I look at my phone like, how the fuck do y'all have time?
See, for me, the thing that helps me out is, one, you have to have some sort of structure in place. Not saying you don't, but the reason why Shelton can, you know, write so much is because, me and Ian talked about this stuff today, actually. The reason why Shelton can write so much is because he has systems in place to get the writing done. He's getting up at 5 a.m. and writing.
Yeah.
He's writing around the times where his family is awake. For me, I have a benefit of working from home, and my job is not time focused. Like, I'm salaried. It's not like you work from this time to this time. It's like, no, you have these responsibilities. And a lot of times that equates me having to work like 4 hours per day. So I'm working like part-time hours, getting a full-time salary. So it enables me to spend that time on my craft, use that time to make a skit, use that time to study acting. So I'm just trying to take full advantage of that. And it's also perfect just in case I have an audition, because if my hours fluctuate. So if it's like, if I, you know, get the headshots, study the craft of acting, get it to a place where I feel confident in my abilities, and I have an audition like at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, I can shift my work around to accommodate that. So that's another thing that's making me want to go ahead and take advantage of it, is the position.
I think that with auditions, I think it's because I have that mind frame of nothing's going to stop me. If an audition comes up, I mean, I'll just, my job, hey, I got to go. I got to, you know, whatever. But everything else, man, it's tough, bro. They be packed. They be packed. And then when I get a moment to do something, like, okay, I have a long time, I can go, you know, let me go and try to do this monologue. All right. Which monologue am I going to do? Wake up. Time to go to work.
Yeah. I feel it, man. I feel you. I think Ian's probably in the best situation because he doesn't have any kids. Yeah. Right. I love my son to death, and I would not change anything. But I do I do see how much time was made wasted before I had kids.
Yeah. Right?
There's a whole bunch of time wasted. So when I see people like Ian, or people, you know, who have the same goals as me and they don't have that responsibility,
I try to stay on them.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, you're in the golden situation right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you can just uproot yourself and go somewhere if you really want to without making these accommodations for the people that you have here.
Yeah. And I did that. I was, you know, I was already acting before Madison got here. Mm-hmm. And I took full advantage of it. I mean, it was nothing for me to just go do whatever audition. It don't matter. I ain't got nothing but pick up. I don't have extra responsibilities and stuff. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, once we found out that we was having a child, like, well, that was one of the first things I thought about. Like, okay, so now I gotta work. I gotta figure out how I'm gonna do this. So then the first 7 months of pregnancy, I was trying to go hard. Like, I'm just, cause I know my time is coming. That's about to be limited. So yeah, I was going for white people roles. I'm not bullshitting, yo.
Major binum here. Reading for Stewart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, I'm not bullshitting you. I went to an audition. The day I walked into that room, and everybody looked down at their people like, hold on, what? What's going on? And they said, is there here which upper part you roll for? And I was like, Ron. And they was like, okay. I know they was uncomfortable. I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was uncomfortable. Because my thing was, my goal was go in that joint and kill it. And now you need to figure out, do you want Ron to be white or black?
Hmm.
And that was one of the few ones I actually got a call back to say I didn't get it, but they enjoyed my audition.
Yeah.
I went in that joint and crushed that bitch. And I was like, he called me back. He was like, he said, I would love to give you the role.
Yeah.
They are adamant about having a Caucasian man play this role.
So do you like auditions?
Yeah, I love auditions.
I think that helps you. I think that's what helps you because as I cut you off, but from that, because I was thinking about that today, just being analytical. And I was like, I was listening to actors get interviews, and I was like, a common theme is that people hate auditions. And I was like, so if you could find a way to like auditions, you could find a way to like get, like, because one of my mentors, he was like, I talked to him weekly about like marketing and stuff, and I talked to him about comedy. He was like, dude, you're different than me. You're focused on, you're trying to get like good at comedy. So you know what I would do? I would focus on what topics people like the most, and I would just do that. He said, if I was a comedian, I would focus on what would get me booked the most. So you would be focused on laughs. He said, I would be focused on what would get me booked the most and do that. So he would apply that kind of mentality to auditions as well. It's like, oh, let me find a way to make these great and make this an enjoyable process, or find out what's needed here, since that's the entry point to the other part of this world. But you liking it, I'm sure the energy comes off during your auditions, that you're not super in your head.
I'd be hyped. I don't need to be nervous. I walk in and don't dap the motherfuckers up. Yo, what's up? How y'all doing? How you doing? You doing good? Let me piece of that sandwich. You know, stuff like that. And yeah, I know. I come in like a ball of energy. And they can tell, and they tell it. You know, sometimes you're like, oh my God, yeah, I feel awake now. I feel awake. And some roles I've gotten, and some I didn't. But I'm memorable. I make sure that I'm memorable. My goal with audition is, one, of course, everybody's to get the part. But my second goal is very close to me getting that part, is to make my audition so good that they have to find a good reason why they had to choose somebody else. Like, I want to always be, it's either that person that gets it or it was me. Mm-hmm. I would love to be the one that gets it, but I always want to be in a conversation like, I think we should choose Boogie, but let's just go with this guy, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to be just one that's forgotten as soon as I leave the room.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not in front. I walk slow when I leave out. Like, when they, thank you so much coming. Thank you so much. I shake hands and all this stuff. When I walk out the door and I shut the door, I stand there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hear what they're just saying. I'm trying to hear what they're talking about.
I imagine that's how you were as well when you played on the Harriet Tubman. You were on the waistline. Like, is Blake coming or standing slave? It's like, hey, I don't think, master don't make me run. So,
yeah.
I prefer his world. Go ahead.
I'm going to stay right here. Get on that joint, too.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm bringing it up. We got to make that happen sometime this week.
Yeah, I want the slaves to go running. They're like, come on, we're almost there. I just want to be like, I don't know about this, y'all. Y'all go ahead. I ain't going to tell.
Master said it's Chitlin Day. I can't leave. They can leave the bar. Yeah. I need my chitlins.
Yeah. Wait a minute. We leave. We getting pork chops today. Y'all don't want these pork chops?
Slavery's funny.
But
I think from what you're saying, like audition, I'm not experienced it in that way. Like when I pursued acting for a while, I did this thing called Pro Scout, which was essentially an audition. The way they had the structure was they were looking for people who were interested in modeling and acting, and they like brought all these agents and, compiled them into this room to like look at people perform and show their headshots and stuff like that. This was like when I was still in high school, my senior year. Mm-hmm. And I went, me and my homeboy went, and they passed on us. Cause like it seemed like they're primarily looking for models. That's what they seemed like they were primarily looking for. Because when they meet you, they don't ask for a performance. They don't ask you to do a monologue or anything like that. It's just visual. But they ended up allowing us to go because we saw another county they were visiting next, and we went to that one too, thinking there was gonna be different people. So we got there and we pretended like we weren't just at the last shit 2 days ago. And then one of the guys who was one of the judges, he was like, wait a second, didn't I see you 2 days ago? I was like, I think I do recognize your face. And he liked the persistence, so he invited us to go ahead and go out on the thing. And I was the only one who went. Homeboy didn't go. Like he was going there to support me. And this was my biggest regrets. I did I was not going there for modeling. I was going there for acting. And they had a competition for acting. So the way it was structured was you did a monologue for this guy who has some experience acting, has been in some stuff, and now he's taking more of like the coaching angle. You would do a monologue for him, and he would take like 10 contestants and let them perform in front of the agents, the monologue.
Okay.
So I remember clearly giving him my monologue. I remember him smirking at a part of it, and I remember him circling my name on a sheet of paper. And I walked off. But then when he revealed who was going to be selected to talk in front of the agents, he didn't call my name. He said, but form a line over here and I'll give each of you feedback on your performance. And I was so upset that he didn't call my name back, I didn't go get that feedback.
God,
and even to this day, I'm mad as shit at myself. You know how I am now. Like, you talking to me now, that you knowing this version of me, you probably, like, I don't even believe you didn't go get feedback, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Considering what we talk about in the group all day. But yeah, I reflect on that moment. I'm like, yo, what could that guy could have told me? You know what I mean? Like, he could have told me something that unlocked.
Right here, they'd be like, there it is, boom.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we do the mark here, I wouldn't have known Mark Quetz.
Yeah, could have told Mark me something that's like, sweet.
Yeah, bro, you could have been Black Panther.
Yeah, and it still haunts me to this day. But, you know, things happen where they're supposed to. But, so that's the only experience I have with, like, doing something that's similar to an audition. I wouldn't even consider that an audition. I'm not looking for a specific person. They're just looking for people who have a certain level of talent that they think have it. Like, the guy who played the only person that comes to mind that was actually discovered at one of those things was, you remember the movie The Great Debaters?
Yeah.
He hasn't played anything lately, but like the handsome black dude in that movie. It was Denzel. It was the Forrest Whitaker face motherfucker. I think it's Forrest Whitaker's son. I got the same droopy eye. And then it was the light-skinned girl, something Smollett, and the guy who was her love interest in the movie. Him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he was discovered. Was discovered there, which is not to say much about the agency since he's not been in shit else.
But see, they haven't been discovered. Nothing. The rest of it was on him.
Exactly, the rest of it was on him.
I think that I think another thing I've tried to put, young actors on game, including yourself, is when you go to looking for some of these auditions and stuff. Look for ones that say print work only.
Mm-hmm.
You know why those are great?
Why?
They pay a lot of money and you ain't got to act.
Really?
They want you to act like something and freeze. So they'll say, okay, so Sony has this new product, this new remote control they want you to do. Mm-hmm. I want you to act like you and your wife are jostling over the remote control. And when I say three, I want you to freeze and that thing. So you'd be like, okay. They'd be like, all right, action. You'd be like, oh, no, give me the remote. They'd be like, give me the remote. Freeze. And then photographer literally runs up and she starts taking pictures of you like this.
And that's like the poster?
Yeah, that's the poster. We put magazines and shit. Uh-huh. That's all you had to do.
And oh, wow.
You'd be like, oh, let's do it again. Okay. Action. Oh, no. Hey, no. Oh, goodness. Freeze.
And see, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish talking.
Sometimes they'll tell you that you know how to put it. Like, no, turn the product a little more because you might be like, freeze. Uh-huh. You see the product. You know, so you know, you noticed with credit cards. Uh-huh. And this is one of the things that my wife hates about me acting because mm-hmm. I be pointing shit on her. If you notice, credit card commercial, and this is your homework and everybody else listening and watching homework. When you look at a credit card commercial and you see them swipe the card is always wrong. You notice that?
Because they're making it face the camera?
Make it face the camera. The card is always, if you look, think about your credit card,
the strips and the chip.
It's top.
Yeah.
When you watch the credit card, watch them swipe, they put the card in, the strip is up top, and they're doing it so that you can see their company logo, Visa, MasterCard. It's never in the correct way.
Gotcha. See, that's only something you would know, given that you're acting and stuff. Because I was just reading that part in the book I was talking about. She was like, we do commercials and stuff. The true star is the product. It's not you. But, normally that would disinterest me because it's like I'm not really doing anything. But now that I'm learning more about the craft of acting, it's like, no, every situation that you act in can be made into, it could at least be looked at practice as you following a certain methodology.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And different acting tactics. So it's like even something as small as fighting over the remote, you could be thinking about, your relationship. How's your relationship? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What just happened? What prompted the fight of this commercial? Are you exactly. trying to get the remote? Bro,
man. Oh my God, yes. I am on set. Okay, what set am I on? That's what I think about. They come and tell me, prime example, and this is the fans of acting and whatever, they're gonna love this shit. My wife would tell you, there's never a situation that I was an extra on set that I didn't do something to earn my way on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Small, minor details. My very first acting thing that I've ever done, it was free, and I was an extra. And I was the guy, at the restaurant eat. Mm-hmm. So what we had to do was I had to sit at a table with some French fries. And all I had to do, all they said, okay, you. And this is the thing about it. All they called me was you. I didn't have a name. It's a you. At this table, all you have to do is eat one fry at a time. One fry at a time. Because all the action is happening in front of you, but you're going to be seeing on camera. And the cameraman came up. And when the actors, so when they said, all right. And they always say, background ready, actors ready, action. So what that means is, anybody that's out there listening, what background ready means is if you're an extra, you guys start moving. You guys already start going and doing whatever you're doing. So it's background ready, actors ready, and then that's when the actors start making motion. Like, so he has to come walk in, he's already walking. And then like, action. So when the camera comes on, it's not like you get somebody standing still, like action, and then they start walking. Mm-hmm. They start walking first. It's action to make it seem like a natural walk-in. So on the walk-in, I was supposed to, as soon as it was like background ready, I had to get my hands ready for the fries. When he said actors ready, he started walking. Once he started walking, I had to take him and eat a fry. Dip it in ketchup, eat another fry. When his camera angle was faced on me, that's all I had to do. When the cameraman came on the side of him, I didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. I only had to worry about when the camera was in front of me. So what I did was, when they was like, I listened to them, and he told the actor when it was straight on, he said, okay, that was a good take, but let's do it one more again just so we can have continuity. All right, everybody back to place. So, all right, I said, I'm going to get in camera this time. Mm-hmm. Action. When he started giving his lines in the background, I knocked over my fries. Like, up, oh, I done dropped the fry. Went over and picked it up. And then I grabbed a napkin. I wiped my mouth and all that. They said, cut, background. Yes. Okay, look, that was a good ticket. And I mean, the man said, he said, background. He said, come on, guy, come on. And he said, hold on a second, rewind it. All right. I want you to do it every time from now on. Yes, sir. Sure can. So every time that I'm acting on, I'm back or extra, I try to do something that is eye-catching but not obvious that something just happened. Like, I'm not trying to be the one in the background like, you know, hey, look at me. It's subtle stuff that I try to do to make them say, hey, you got to do that every time now. Mm-hmm. You got to do it every time.
That's so, your improv brain coming out. Yeah, man. You know what I mean? Just making something subtle happen.
It's subtle, bro. It's... Oh my God, yo. So I was trying to do something different to stand out. And it was funny. I don't even know why I told y'all that story. Like, I don't even remember what was the purpose of me telling you that story.
Yeah, you like me. I think we both just tired, man. I think that's what it is. Because this podcast has been sucking lately. But I think we're both just tired. But I don't give a fuck. This is going to be an acting themed podcast because I'm actually interested in this. So it's like,
yeah. It's going to be a lot of actors going to be interested in it.
Exactly. And this would give them value.
So I'm going to market to actors.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Do you have your SAG card? Are you in SAG?
No.
Okay. Has it ever been?
SAG eligible, yes. But I don't have it. I refuse to get it living here.
Why?
Cost too much money to have it living here. You have to pay SAG dues.
How much does it cost to get your SAG?
I think it's like $1,200 now.
A year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the $1,200 doesn't make sense to have a SAG card living in Virginia where there's not a lot of SAG stuff to come through. Mm. So East Coast is going to give you, even with Atlanta, they look for a lot of people that's non-SAG because they can get the same quality actors and pay them less. So it's like, we definitely should label this the acting.
This is the acting podcast. Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's one of the things with it is going to be the whole thing of they can pay you less money and get the same quality of actor as you can with somebody that would have said. Where the SAG comes in and joining the union is to fight against that. Mm-hmm. So they are the people that's in SAG and unions, they are trying to fight against it to make sure everybody get the same amount of money because now it cuts their money out. Which means the SAG people that's worked hard. I'm SAG eligible. I got to smash SAG card, but now I can't get work because a lot of these projects are shooting non-union, and they hire non-union actors. And non-union actors, I can pay you $100 a day, or I can pay you $80, or I can pay you $64.
So SAG only makes sense if you're like in New York, California, Chicago, places like that.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
They shoot a lot of SAG projects.
See, I didn't know that you wouldn't be eligible to get non-union stuff if you were SAG. So that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, and so if you are SAG and you apply for a non-union gig, mm-hmm. that non-union gig now has to report to the SAG to the union that they have a SAG actor on the thing and get the clearance, okay, for that. Mm-hmm. Reason why that's an issue. And this is something I have in my IMDb. If you look at my IMDb, this is something I have on there. And the project never got moved forward because it was a non-union project. They had 3 SAG actors on there. It took somebody who was a SAG actor that didn't get the part, got mad, and told the union, hey, there's a production in Richmond, Virginia that's about to shoot that has SAG actors on it. Those SAG actors never told the union. The production company never told union. The union came down and said, how much are y'all paying? And it was like, this is the dollar amount. SAG starts off at this amount. You can't pay them no less than $1,000. So this is what it is. Now the production budget's gone. The whole production got canceled.
That's crazy. Yeah. That makes sense though. It makes sense. So let me ask you this. Why not just move to Atlanta?
Why not move to Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
You could. I don't want to move my family to Atlanta.
That's what I'm asking. Like, why have you decided to stay in Virginia instead of moving to Atlanta?
Just because of family, honestly. Because of family and my daughter. If I think if more so if we didn't have my daughter, we were probably more apt to get up and move. But at the time before my daughter was born, I wasn't as heavy as I am into acting now. So now it just be a fact that we're moving her away from my family.
Gotcha.
That's what we really don't want. Yeah.
So how far is Atlanta from y'all?
For me, 8 hours.
Okay.
8 hours like driving. Time, 8, fly, hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. That might be the move though, man. Me. Depends on if it because it's not too far from family for me. Because we lived in Florida for a year. And we were making that drive with an infant. Like, when my son, as soon as he popped out, we didn't even wipe the fluid off. We just got in the car and drove 10 hours to Florida with an infant, man. And you can imagine how difficult. Oh, speaking of infant, what the fuck is going on in California, man? You saw the wildflowers, right? The wildfires.
Yeah.
So we're talking about it in my job, because most people I work with, they live in California. And I don't watch the news and shit like that because all the negativity, but I remember they posted in the group that we're all in, like, you know, prayers up for the people in California. If you need anything, let us know. If you need to take time off, if you need finances to pay for things, just let us know. Oh, what the fuck's going on in California? Mm. And it was a wildfire. I'm like, I thought it was some regular shit. Wildfire, no one had wildfires. And it's like,
yeah,
caused by gender reveal party. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It was caused by motherfuckers had a gender reveal party, and they were trying to be extra. So they had like some pyrotechnical shit out there, and that's what started the fire.
What? Which, I didn't know that.
Yes, like 65 people I think are dead, and many other have been displaced. Like, one dude I worked with had to evacuate.
From a gender reveal.
For fucking gender reveal parties.
So they were trying to have fireworks, like blue fireworks.
Yeah, I don't know what fucking fireworks. First of all, we got to abort the parents. The parents got to be aborted. It's a late stage abortion because that's like a cautionary tale of being extra. It's like you literally just ruin all, like, smoke has from the fire. I just saw this before we got on this podcast. Smoke from the fire has made it all the way to the East Coast.
Yeah, I've actually heard that the smoke from the fire, and I just heard this today. Smoke from the fire has affected the sun.
How? In what way?
Nigga, I don't know. It's just I heard it.
The way you phrase that made it seem like the smoke made it to the sun. And the sun's like coughing and shit. Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to make sense of it. Because I'm like, that's a long ass distance.
Yeah, that's that. Sure, they got to evaporate by then. I think it's
so like, something burning. yeah, man, it's just I think it just
affects how we see the sun because of the smoke.
If you see the pictures from California, man, like you see like the visuals.
Yeah, like I saw this. Some of them. My sister's in California.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
shit, you got it in. You ever stay? To go back to the acting thing for a second. Do you ever stay with her for any kind of auditions?
No.
Why not?
My sister lives in the slums.
Okay.
My sister lives on Skid Row.
Well, you know, Serena and Venus should live here. I'm like, oh, no.
We lived in a hood here in Richmond, but she lived in a hood. Like, she over there. All my clothes would be in my hand. Like, looking around like, what is this? And she lived in a one bedroom. Like, we joke and tell her, like, dead ass, nigga, she gets
us. Oh, one bedroom.
Yeah, dude, this bitch ain't got nothing. Nigga, she is squatting, basically. She can literally, and I'm not even joking, she can literally get in her shower and cut the stove on. Wow. She wanna heat something up. Let me just reach your arm out, cut the stove on right quick. Knock, 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 somebody at the door. Still in the shower. Hold on a second. With the curtain back.
Come Jesus on in. Christ. And you in the hood living like that.
Yeah.
Nah. And then I wouldn't want to be in the hood in California, walk outside bumping the Nipsey Hussle and shit. It's like, I'm good.
Yeah, bro. It's crazy, yo. So, no, I ain't stayed with it yet.
No, I got family in California. Like I said, half of our staff lives in California, so I know, like, if push comes to shove, I can stay with somebody. which is
and she in LA too. She in Hollywood. She live in Hollywood.
Really? Yes, that's perfect. Yeah. I mean, not now with the virus. Obviously, we'd be chilling out for a while. But once they put them shits, so I always like when fires shit happen. I'm like, why the fuck? Let's get some water, nigga. Like, I know it's more complicated than that, but like my mind is like, nigga, just get some water. Like, what the fuck is? Why is fire still happening? We got water. Do you need me to donate water to the cause, nigga? Like, what the fuck is going on? Well, apparently, like I didn't know that when you put water on fire, it can spread.
Yeah,
depending on how big the fire is,
it make the smoke thicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you just spraying down on the top, so you have to go from the bottom, which makes it hard.
Yeah, I don't know if I could be a fireman, dude. Like, first of all, being a fireman seems like the most boring job in the fucking world. Cause I don't ever know what the fucking you see a fire truck coming, and there ain't no fire. It's like, what the fuck are y'all niggas bored? Like, what the fuck are y'all here for?
Like practice.
You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is going on? But then when you talk to farm, like a lot of times just chilling. Like you talk to Miguel and Brandon from the Pewter Film Movie.
Yeah.
Like they just chill a lot. They chill when they're not chilling, they really doing some shit.
Yeah.
They're not really doing some shit, they chilling. It's gotta be available. So it seems like the pie job till it's not anymore. And then it's like I would definitely be that fireman who's like the last one down the pole. I'm not trying to fight no fires, bro. I'm not trying to fight no fucking fires, especially like
I'd be the one still trying to go to auditions, working at the fire department. I'm going to sneak off to this audition. As soon as you audition, and it's your turn to drive the truck. And they're like, booking, you're next. Okay, you walk in and bling, bling, like, God. And do I try to better my life or ruin somebody else's?
Yeah.
So, I'd be the one to drive the truck to the audition. Tell them, I be using the truck as an excuse. Uh-huh. Hey, excuse me. I got this. I gotta go. So can I cut line? I know we had a 4 minute for 6. Can I go ahead and go at 4?
My uncle was actually the first black fireman in the county that I grew up in. He was the first black fire chief, excuse me.
Oh, okay. Like, no black firemen.
It was close to water, nigga. You know we can't swim. But yeah, he was the first black fire chief. He was like, start off mopping the floors. Him and my grandfather have stories where he was like very successful in real estate and shit. My great uncle, see, my grandfather's brother. But they have like stories of like going to places in North Carolina and them being turned away from being black. Like they have one story where it was an ice cream parlor. They love ice cream and shit. So with this ice cream parlor and they couldn't be in there if I think there were any whites there or something like that.
Yeah.
And my great uncle was like, I'm going to buy this shit one day. And now you go downtown where the ice probably used to be, his name is up front. So that's some baller shit. that's some baller ass shit. But it's crazy. That's what I'm saying, man. But it's crazy to me, like, because we think that, not to get too heavy with the racism topic, but given that we did talk about Harriet Tubman. Like how that shit won't really that long ago.
That's the thing that people don't think about. It won't long ago. It was literally one generation for me. One generation away that my parents couldn't swim at the public pool down here where I am. Could not be there.
It's wow. It's such out of like my generation and younger's experience to even think about that. Like it's like something that happened, you know, centuries ago in our mind when really it was like a blink of an eye away, motherfuckers like, black nigga, you're fucking water fountains over there. You water fountain like shit on it. But yeah, man, it's it reminds me of the funniest skit is when you seen the Chappelle Show skit where he like never gonna be the first black person to do anything. It was the first black dude to take a shit in a white person's toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That would be me.
That would definitely be me.
I'd be that guy.
Try to get away with it.
Bro, let me tell you, this is random as hell.
Trying to hide your ankles so they can't see from the stall. Go ahead.
At work today, we had like randomly spirit week. Somebody literally put up on the board and say, this week is going to be spirit week for no reason at all. So today was crazy sock day. So I thought about it and laughed at myself Because I was like, of course, I'd be the one to pull these socks out. Let me show you my socks, bro. Are you ready?
Yeah. Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got to work there. Like, how you get Burger King socks? I'm special.
I'm the most valued customer is how I got these.
Yeah.
Single-handedly kept their business afloat. Yo, who the fuck is going to Burger King, bro? I saw someone on Twitter say they nuggets taste like deer ankles. And I'm like,
yeah, I saw that.
I can imagine that that's the case. I can't remember the last time I had Burger King, man. Their Whopper's still hit, though.
Oh, I get a Whopper once every other week.
Uh-huh.
The Whopper's still hit. Shout out to T-Mobile. T-Mobile Tuesday, and send us that free Whopper, code, and I'd be there right in Burger King. Yeah, let me get a T-Mobile Whopper, please. Free Whopper.
Last time I went to Burger King, bro, I got to the window, and six flies flew in a single file line into my car. So I've never returned. But you know what's bad when the fly is trying to get out of there. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, where were you?
The flies are nasty in this motherfucker. I gotta get out of here.
So the flies look like the runaway slaves. Come on, let's go.
It's an opportunity. It's always funny to see like the customer support at like places like that, like compared to McDonald's and Wendy's. To me, has like the worst. I ain't never been to a Wendy's and was pleasantly surprised by the person taking my order.
Me either.
They damn near throw you the bag. It's Wendy's. Sometimes Bojangles is like that. Burger King is like they forget they working. Sometimes dude at Burger King recommended me a shake, and after he recommended me the shake, told me it didn't have shake. He's like, you shot a fruit blue shake. I'm like, I need a fruit blue shake. He's like, huh? Oh, we got a fruit blue shake. It's not a bitch. I got my mouth set with some fruit loops. Your ass ain't got it.
To me, Burger King forget that they're working. Yeah. Burger King will take your order till you pull it to the first window and never see. And they be standing right there talking. You be saucing us out like, what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
And I went to Burger King last weekend on a Saturday when I had to work. And I said, oh, let me stop Burger King and get my breakfast on my way to, like, eat on the way to work. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, let me just use a coupon, get me a free croissant. So I walked up, said, yeah, let me get a croissant. They don't make your order until you get there when you go pay through the mobile app. Mm-hmm. Once you give me your name and your number, that's when they make the order. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah, I'm here to pick up an order for Boogie. And she said, all right, go on, drive around. I'm like, all right, good morning to you too. It's like 6:40. So then I pulled up to the window, and then I said, she said, you Boogie? First of all, there was no cars in front of me. No cars behind me. It was just me. I went to the box and said, I'm here to pick up an order for Boogie. When I drove around, 4 seconds later, she said, are you Boogie? I literally looked in front of me like, that's nobody else in front of me. Like, I said, yes, I'm Boogie. She said, oh, all right. Walked away from the window, leaned up against the counter, and had a conversation with somebody. Came over, gave my bag, and said, here you go. I said, thank you. And I pulled off. I pulled off and came right back around through the window. Beep, beep. She can't do it. She said, yes, sir, what's wrong? I said, the only thing that's wrong is my sandwich is cold. Why is my sandwich cold when you just made it? How long the sandwich been sitting there? I had this whole thing, bro. And I had two sandwiches, too.
Yeah.
I had this whole thing. So they gave me two cold sandwiches. And that was the thing about it. I could see it was just one cold or something. Both of my sandwiches were cold.
Yeah.
So that means that y'all got my name and made my order 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
When they're supposed to make it right when you get there, give you thing.
Mm-hmm. So you said this whole thing. So was she arguing with you?
No, she ain't argue. She she just gave me like she rolled her eyes. She gave me that like, all right,
yeah. The sandwich is cold. You gotta redo this. I don't blame me.
The one in the mango. I apologize, sir.
Are you good?
Yes, I would like some mango. How many carbs in mango? Carbs. Yes. Ask mommy how many carbs are in mango. But yes, I want some. Regardless what the answer is, yes, I want some.
Mango's delicious, bro.
Thank you so much. Carbs. Carbs? Yes. Carbs? Carbs.
Carbs? I'm surprised she hasn't been in the room yet.
Oh, no, she came in once.
Okay, she was very quiet.
Yeah, she came in once and cut the lights off. Yeah, you'll see when you play back.
She came in. Oh, that's when you thought the power. That's when you thought the power was out.
That was different. That was a different time. Okay. This one, she actually came in here and slightly opened my door and stuck her hand in and cut the lights off. Cut them right back on.
Yeah.
This time, you missed it, but she came over and she had a menu. She actually had like a little pad writing my order down.
Mm-hmm.
I want some mango, yes or no.
But yeah, man, I mean, some service workers, like, it makes me mad sometimes because I make a point to be super polite to anyone in the service work industry. I know we had that episode we shitted on leaving tips. It was all jokes. All jokes. But they very nice to some of them. And that's what's not really talked about. Like you talk about people who are, you know, don't leave tips or assholes. But then some people in the service industry, assholes just like any other person.
I still want it.
Asshole just like any other person. So I try to avoid, like, I don't go to places like that. One, because of the food, and then two, because of the bad attitude. You gotta be shown. She's taking your order. I just brought you aside. My son does the same thing. He doesn't do it like her with like the actual thing. But he does play that whole like
the whole
like,
world.
Hey, sir, welcome to whatever you order, that's what store you're in. So if you order like a sandwich, it's like, yeah, welcome to the sandwich store.
Can I help you, man? I expect yes. Sound it out. Yeah, I expect yes. What's next? You wrote the why. What's next? The vowels. A says. E says. Okay, so does that sound like it's next? Yeah. And what's the last letter? Say the word. Goodbye. Yeah, bro.
But yeah, man, so that seems like a good stopping point for episode 4. Hopefully people are into acting, because if not, this might be an episode to skip. But yeah, people, this has been another episode of Two Uninformed Opinions Podcast. Make sure to share this with someone, this episode in particular, for someone who is a struggling actor out there or a struggling person in entertainment.
Or just want to hear some more acting stuff.
Exactly. Make sure to review
us on Instagram. I can tell y'all now, because we are both into acting, you're going to hear some acting episodes.
So. Oh, you're going to hear some episodes that's specifically about either comedy or acting at times. You're going to get what you're going to get, damn it.
You're going to take this guy down.
But yeah, so send this to somebody. Like, share, make sure you subscribe, and leave a review on any platform you're listening to us on. And until next time, people, we're out.
Peace.
All right, let me stop the recording.